Where do you go? To whom do you turn if your child needs mental health care? Providers, advocates, and parents agree. Options in Michigan are too few and far between, and this reality has spurred a class action lawsuit. The suit was filed in 2018 against then-Governor Snyder and the State Department of Health and Human Services. It alleges the state has failed to meet its legal obligation under Medicaid to provide adequate services for children with behavioral and mental health problems. Earlier this month, a federal judge ruled this lawsuit may proceed towards trial. Here now is former state senator and state representative David Honigman. He's partner at the law firm Mantis Honigman, and he is the lead attorney in this class action suit. So, David, outline for us the central claim against the state in this case, KB v. DHHS.
Well, the state is not providing what's shorthand is called the EPSDT benefit under the Medicaid program. That stands for Early Periodic Screening, Diagnosis, and Treatment. And basically, it's all the medical and mental health care that a child from a family of modest means is entitled to. They're entitled to the same medical care that someone with private health insurance would get under federal law.
Okay, so exactly how is that happening? How is the state failing to provide, as you say, screening, diagnosis, and treatment? That's pretty across the board. How is the state failing to do this for these minors who receive Medicaid benefits?
Well, they're failing in multiple respects, and they're not just failing by a little bit. They're unfortunately failing radically. Here, let me give you an example. There's a young man who's a plaintiff in our lawsuit. P.S., let's use him. He's a nonverbal 20-year-old boy who has intermittent explosive disorder. That means he has, you know, very severe behavioral outbursts and aggressive temper tantrums. He has autism. He has intellectual disabilities. He has cerebral palsy. So because of his illnesses and disorders, he displays intermittent and severe aggression, outbursts of rage, inattention, agitation, food stealing. Even though his parents, or his mother, actually, had been requesting mental health services and medical attention for him for years, he was finally only referred to the community mental health program's autism program when he turned 17. And at that time, only minimal services were offered. ABA is called Applied Behavior Analysis. That's the only effective treatment for autism. And you're supposed to start out getting it 35, 40 hours a week. And over time, you can reduce the treatment. And the earlier the intervention, the better.
And he was 17 before he ever got referred.
Before he got any. And even then, the service that they were offering him was way below the amount of service that he needed.
So what we're seeing is people are not getting services when they need it, and they're certainly not getting the degree of services they need. And I know a federal judge recently allowed most of the claims in your suit to proceed to discovery and go on to trial. It was Judge Thomas Ludington, and he found that your side had satisfied him, claiming laws in the Constitution had been violated. So tell us what laws and what part of the Constitution you believe has been violated.
Well, number one, the Medicaid statute and a federal statute known as 1983, the Civil Rights Act, which requires that people with disabilities and mental illnesses or physical illnesses too, but our clients are mostly kids with mental illnesses and related physical illnesses, they're entitled under federal law, under the Medicaid statute, to have the medical treatment they need, whatever's medically necessary, paid for by the state. The state gets a lot of money from the federal government. It varies from state to state, but the federal government pays anywhere from half to three quarters of the cost of these services, and the state pays for a half to a quarter of the cost. And in return for the federal government paying this large share of the cost of medical and mental health services for poor children, the state is required to follow the federal law that it provide all medically necessary treatment, and it's not doing that.
And we know that the state contracts with the prepaid inpatient health plans, the PIHPs, and the local county medical health service programs to provide that. And the state's arguing, hey, we've executed these contracts, so we fulfilled our duty.
Yes, and the court held that merely making a contract isn't enough. The state is required to ensure that their contractors actually provide adequate service. They can't just contract for the service, wash their hands of the whole matter, and not monitor and guarantee that their contractors actually deliver the services they're supposed to deliver.
And you've got seven plaintiffs listed in this complaint?
Yes.
And ultimately, how large do you believe the potential class is for this suit?
Well, we won't know that for sure until after discovery, but it's certainly tens of thousands of children and potentially hundreds of thousands. And of course, the relief we hope to obtain will continue indefinitely into the future. So over time, you're talking about millions of Michigan children.
And what do you hear and what do you feel is the biggest barrier to the state in providing the appropriate mental and behavioral health care to these kids?
You know, it's money. It costs a lot of money to care for these kids in the short term. Remember, this is early periodic screening, diagnosis, and treatment. So the earlier the intervention, the more effective it is. So in the long run, it's actually less costly and more efficient to do intensive, comprehensive intervention at the youngest age possible. But the state, and this is not just true of Michigan, but most U.S. states, they tend to have a short-term focus. And there's also a lack of political responsiveness to the needs of the vulnerable. They may vote less frequently than parents from wealthier households.
So it feels like they're easier to forget?
They're easier to forget, but in the wealthiest nation on earth, no family should go broke just because a child has a disability or illness. Not in Michigan or not anywhere in the country.
And when do you expect this suit to get to trial? You've got to go through discovery. What are you hoping as far as a timetable for trial?
Well, I'm hoping the state will actually, now that the court has ruled that our claims are legally valid, of course we have to prove that the services aren't being offered, but that evidence is overwhelming. There's no way for the state to really deny that adequate services are being provided. The state itself has done their own reports and studies, and their working groups have found that services are radically deficient. So I'm hoping, and I anticipate this is going to happen, that we'll just be able to bargain with them and they'll agree to provide better services. Nobody's really against these kids. It's just it's easy to ignore them in favor of groups with lobbyists and that make campaign contributions and groups that vote in greater numbers. That's why we have to bring a lawsuit.
David Honigman, lead attorney in a class action suit that accuses the state of Michigan of failing to provide adequate services for children who have behavioral and mental health problems. Thank you so much for speaking with us on Stateside.
Thanks so much, Cynthia. Good speaking with you.
We reached out to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and they provided us this statement. I am quoting, "We cannot comment on ongoing litigation. However, MDHHS is committed to working with partners to address mental health needs in Michigan. Our request to discuss Michigan's mental health system for children more broadly and what the department is doing to improve it was declined."